right, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. Let's give it up for Kim M.
All right, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to invite my higher power in for a minute, man, and you guys are welcome to do the same, so I get myself out of the way. All right, what's up, y'all? My name's Kim. I'm an addict. So I brought my weapons, man. Let me get my weapons out real quick. Bring my weapons to the fight. So the topic is family and recovery, right? And so, you know, just to be clear, man, I'm not here to talk about your family and recovery. I'm here to talk about mine. Because all I've got is my experience, right? That's it, man. That's all I got, right? Hey, we get up here, man, and we share, and all the fuck we got is our own experience, man, right? Like, when I go into H&I, man, I make it real clear to people, this is not a class, and I'm not a teacher. I'm a recovering addict, right? Just here to share with you what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me in my life, right? You know, I also tell them, like, I'm not here to recruit you, man. If you find your own thing, do that, right? This is what has worked for me, right? And so I want to share, man, the hope shot, right? That, you know, you have husbands and wives come up here, man, that are in the program together and that are working their own programs, right? And I have a husband and he works his program and I work mine and we have a healthy relationship, right? But what I'm here to talk about is I have a brother, a sibling, same mom, same dad, man. And we are both, he's got 6 years clean and I got 3 years clean and we are both working the Narcotics Anonymous program, right? He works his steps, I work my steps. We're in the same fucking rooms in the same area, man, right? That's the hope shot. That's a fucking hope shot, man. You know what I mean? Because, you know, what do? We talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, right? And so I came to the rooms. I ain't gonna tell you the year because I don't remember. I don't even know, man. Like fucking 8 years ago. And the reality is, man, is I did it for a guy, regardless what gets us here, right? I found hope in the rooms, man. And you know, I left the relationship because I noticed it wasn't healthy. And I started to acquire some things, man, for the first time probably in my life, or at least within the first time in a decade. And, you know, and so I'm hitting these meetings and, you know, and at this point I've been in several rehabs, man, and done the treatment thing, right? But it's like lights are coming on and I'm having a desire, right? And when I really started trying to work the program, I stopped going to my mom's house. And I remember coming in the room sharing about, man, God, I just wanted my brother to find his way, man, and get clean. My brother's out there dying, man. And so the hit is I never talked to him about the program. I never even asked him to go to a meeting, man. And not because of anything other than I didn't think he'd ever go. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the truth. So I never was like, you know, look what I'm doing over here, right? I just did my thing. And through that, he was like, damn, you know, like she got a car, she got a job, something is happening over there, right? That attraction, right? And so he made his way to the rooms, man. And fucking found the same hope, man, and that same spirit, right? That could be felt in our rooms. He found it, man. And as he was finding it, I was slipping away and I went back out for years, right? And I'm talking about, when I talk about going back out, man, I'm talking about there's people in this room right now who watched me for years in the rooms dying. Couldn't fucking stop using. You know, hey, if you don't keep coming back, But all of us have met one fucking person who cannot stop relapsing, and you're just like, God bless their hearts. They're still showing up, ain't they? Come on in, baby. Have a seat. Shut up. Quit sharing three times. God damn it. Listen. You high right now. That was me, man. I was that addict. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I want to read out of, you know, they were talking about the third tradition earlier, right? So, check this out. Just as we are not capable of measuring another's desire to stay clean, neither are we equipped to decide who should join. We are free to offer welcome instead of judgment. Shit. I'm not always perfect with that. We look for ways to help instead of judge. Our task is to fan the flame of desire, not dampen it. Any addict who walks into a meeting, even a fucking using addict, man, displays a level of willingness that cannot be discounted. While maintaining an emphasis on the importance of total abstinence, still using addicts are welcomed into our meetings with special encouragement to keep coming back, right? Listen, man. I'm noisy. Loud. Is it my phone? Okay.
It might be.
Okay. We'll move my phone. So, listen, man. Hey, that all sounds real good, right? And here I am, who I've been that fucking struggling addict, right? And the hit is like, hey, man, I can be so good with being loving and caring and compassionate with a motherfucking stranger.
Yeah.
But let it be my sibling.
Oh yeah.
Or even a motherfucker I know. Let it be my mama, my cousin, them. You know, especially my sibling, man. You know what I mean? Hey, man, that's real shit. You know, especially if you're already in the rooms and already established. You know what I mean? That shit's embarrassing, right? I can imagine. All right, here comes his little sister. Fucked up again, man. What's wrong with your sister, man? Hey, I don't want to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Hey. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I had fucking evidence. I had tangible evidence in my life that the program worked from watching him, right? From watching him get some clean time, man. But we know the disease of addiction, right? And listen, man, hey, we all have our own unique voice, man. Our own unique song that we sing, right? And that drug of choice shit is motherfucking rehab shit. Right? What is your drug of choice? My drug of choice was death, goddammit. Whatever the fuck could kill me, one hit at a time. One man at a time. One ching at a time. One monster at a time. Whatever the fuck, right? The self-destruction. There is something within our self-destructive personalities that cries for failure, man. Right? And so, man, the reality is, man, is just like I never shoved the program down his throat, he did the same for me, man. You know what I mean? The most he would say was just like, you know where the solution is, right? And I've got a niece, his daughter. And I never had children until, you know, obviously y'all know, till recently in the last year, right? And so I didn't have children of my own, man, and my brother's kids were like my kids. It had always been that way. You know, and so my niece, man, was my whole world. And so what happened was, man, I learned through watching him and how it affected me, watching him build boundaries with himself and his child and his recovery, right? Him building boundaries and being like, you're no longer allowed to be around her if you're in this condition. I'll take you to a meeting and that's the only time you can see her. And so, hey man, I went to a motherfucking meeting, right? And in that process, I found some hope every time, but I was still staying connected, man. And then after that, it was like, you know, I couldn't make it to meetings, man, and I couldn't be around her. And I didn't want to imagine my life without her, right? And so, you know, there may have been a motive for him, right? Maybe she'll get clean, da-da-da-da-da. But the reality is, man, is he had to build his boundaries, right? And through him building his boundaries, man, those were consequences. Fuck death, right? I wasn't scared to die, right? Fuck all that shit. Jail, I can do jail. I can do institutions. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my safe place. They 3 meals a day, you know what I mean? But when it came to losing people out of my life, man, you know, that doesn't affect some people. It affected me, right? Like, you know, we're transplants, man, from Indianapolis, right? And we ain't got very many of us left. And so the thought of losing the little bit of family I had left, man, was terrifying to me. You know what I'm saying? Because then I'ma really be alone in the middle of fucking nowhere, right? And through finding Narcotics Anonymous, man, the streets and that scene was not my scene no more, man. I was awkward out there and shit. I was fucking weird, you know. Like, you know, using addicts got weird fucking behaviors anyways, right? But now I'm like a using addict that knows the 12 steps and shit. In the trap house with the basic text. Man, I'm all fucked up. I'm being prayed for with the third step in the meetings, ma'am, and I'm fucking getting dirty looks in the trap house, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know where to go, man. You know what I'm saying? And so, man, that third tradition, right? Like, we can't judge somebody's desire, right? They just kept saying, keep coming back, man. And there's this old lady, there's this OG. There's this OG, man, and she, back 7 years ago, had almost 30 years in the Liquid Fellowship. And because I, too, am in a small town, right? And so that's part of my story as well, man. And unable to find the identification, right? Well, just say this, right? Well, I'm telling a half-truth to my motherfucking self, man. You know what I mean? And so, anyways, and in this area, it's like people would get, you know, especially the women, it seemed like, would get long-term clean time and then go over here because it's easier. Well, they're more established. Well, what the fuck, man? You said you was an addict, right? Well, you know, we don't want to have to, you know, open the doors and shit, you know. We gonna let the youngster do that shit. So, anyway, she said, man, she said, if I can ever give you any, you know, suggestion, don't ever give up trying, right? Don't ever give up fucking trying. Don't ever give up believing that at some point, someday, you can have a life that's not like this, right? And man, y'all know how it is. It's like, you think so? Man, you know what I'm saying? You just fucking exhausted. Just, life is just, hey, I don't know about y'all, man, and I'm grateful. Listen, man, you know, there was a workshop this morning about sponsorship, man. The sponsorship is vital, right? And early in my recovery this time, man, I entertained the idea of having a conversation with a coworker that was using, right? And my last sponsor told me to pick a motherfucking side. And I need to be checked sometimes, man. You know what I'm saying? I need to, and it pissed me off, man. I'm like, fuck you. Pick a side. And then I hung up and I was like, God damn, I need to pick a side, man. I need to stop playing. I'm playing. You know what I'm saying? I still want to be cool with motherfuckers using, man. But I don't want that life over there. Nah, bruh. Sit the fuck down. You know what I'm saying? They're dying, remember? So were you, right? I forget. Like, I want to make them feel better about what they're doing. Nah, motherfucker. You tripping. Come on home. Come on home. Remember what you're doing, right? So, whoop-de-whoop, blah, blah, blah. So finally, the sponsor I have now, her phone number was on my refrigerator for like a year and a half, man. And And finally, I got desperate enough to call her and be like, hey, man, look, I need to get into treatment. And she was like, okay, I'll give you a phone number. They have beds open, right? Because that's what we do. You know, you have to do the footwork, right? If you need a ride, let me know. But you have to call them. And you got to, you know what I'm saying? How hungry are you, man? And so that's carried with me today, right? That's how the people I work with now, that's what I do with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll get a phone number, bro, but you're going to have to call them. Right? Because we don't appreciate shit unless we do the work. You know, man, I heard some shit. You know, hey, look. I call it work. It's a fucking step workbook. Right? I have to be willing to do some fucking hard work in this program. You know what I mean? If I dread doing the work, man, then I'm not going to appreciate the fucking gifts that it's got for me, man. Right? It's that hard work piece. Whether it's in here, out there, whatever we do, when we work hard for something, it builds our self-esteem, man. And it's like, look what we did. Look what y'all helped me learn how to do. I feel like a grown-up. You know what I mean? I'm growing up. Yay! So, you know, so this time, man, I get clean, right? And I come to Fort Smith, and I get a home group, I get a sponsor, and they're like, how long you gonna stay out there, right? Because I did the 30-day thing, 4, 5, 6, however many times, man. And then I went back to my little apartment that I was paying $5 for, because my mom would write a letter to the rental place and say that I'm working for her. Y'all know how we do, right? And so this apartment had become my motherfucking tomb, man. Fuck independence. I was not independent. I was dying, right? It don't matter if you got your own shit if you can't maintain it and can't stop getting high in it, right? It's that self-sufficiency is a lie, man, for people like me. So, I gotta make sure I give my brother enough time. We had that conversation. I'm a talking motherfucker, right? Hey, man, and that's some real shit. Our whole lives, man. You know, he was 8 years old when I was born, man. So I've been the center of the center of attention most of his life. So since I come into recovery, you know, he just got married last week. Congratulations. That's good, man. I'm learning through Narcotics Anonymous, I'm learning that it don't fucking have to be about me all the time no more, man. I don't have to be the center of the attention no more, man. I can fall back and let my brother have his moment, man. You know what I'm saying? And clap for him for a minute, man. Right? It don't always have to be about me. And that's only through the step working process in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Only, right? Because believe me, like, if I wasn't working a program, I'd have been in his wedding. Everybody, well, I'm still loud. I do my best. But, you know what I mean? Like, I get to let him have his day and his moment. When he gets his medallion and celebrates clean time, I don't have to run up there and say something. I can fall back and sit down and let some other people say some shit about my brother, man. I don't have to fucking be the center of attention. You know, hey, it takes an active effort. I'm talking about, I gotta pray and be like, okay, Kim, sit down. Don't run up there. He didn't ask you to do it. Maybe next time. So, in the basic text, and we do recover, right? So now, So listen, man, it's like, I would love to come up here and be like, hey, man, you know, if your family comes into Narcotics Anonymous, you know, this is how you do it. Shit. We still figuring this shit out. You know what I mean? And as much as we do it together, you know, listen, man, okay, I'm going to read this real quick on page 90. So it says, in our recovery, we find it essential to accept reality, right? Once we can do this, we do not find it necessary to use drugs in an attempt to change our perceptions. That's the step working process, right? Me getting with me. Without drugs, we have a chance to begin functioning as useful human beings if we accept ourselves and the world exactly as it is. We learn that conflicts are part of reality, and we learn new ways to resolve them instead of running from them. They are a part of the real world. Here's the hit. We learn not to become emotionally involved with problems. We deal with what is at hand and try not to force solutions. We have learned that if a solution is not practical, it is not spiritual. Man, my homeboy Terry B says, if I can't help you, I don't need to fuck with you, right? And that's the same with siblings, man. How have we done this in the same rooms? We don't fuck with each other's programs, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't really ask him what step he's on. I don't care how many times he's called his sponsor, right? Hey, man, I do that shit in my marriage, too. His program ain't none of my motherfucking business, right? Now, to an extent. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, you know. Hey. We are each other's eyes and ears. Y'all like that shit, right? Right. Hey, but listen, man, I was talking to Spons about that the other day, man. The disease will use the literature as a weapon, yeah. Right? Right? Yeah. Real quick and slick, right? Be trying to have a grown-up conversation, man, and be like, if that's not practical, it's not spiritual, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a process. It's a process. But, you know, that's my experience, man. It's like, you know, having family in active addiction, which, you know, we're struggling with right now, right? I have a brother-in-law who has gone back out, right? And it's that same, that age-old thing, man. Well, I'm glad you found a thing, right? And I'm glad it works for you, right? I need to find my own identity, right? I didn't do that with my brother, man. It was like I knew where the solution was, right? At one point, a brother from Fort Smith saw Tadell, saw my brother get two separate medallions, man, when he got a year, and was like, when you gonna pick a program? And so he did, and I got out of county, and I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. I should probably pick one, too. And we both identify as addicts with the disease of addiction, right? And so this is just where we ended up, man. Just because we're in the same room, we don't have to be in competition, man, right? It doesn't have to be an issue. You know what I'm saying? The reality is, man, is you know, he gave me the room, man. He gave me the room to fuck up. He gave me the room to figure it out, man, right? And that's the hit. It's like when we try to force somebody to work a program the way we think it should be worked, right? Then what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like we're not allowing addicts to find their own path, man. You know, I just told, you know, somebody asked me yesterday if we could work together, you know, sponsorship. And I said, you know, she was like, you know, I like your understanding of the literature and the program. And I was like, hey, man, listen, I appreciate that. But I want to help you get your own understanding of the literature and the program. That's what Narcotics Anonymous does, right? And then we can compare understandings. And when you get an understanding, you might change my understanding, right? We get to grow. We get to grow and build upon our understanding of the program and the recovery process, right? If I stay open-minded, if I stay teachable, if I stay willing, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, through this, right, through working the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, our mom, who doesn't have a program, right, you know, being in recovery is about setting boundaries, man. You know what I'm saying? And through setting boundaries and being consistent with those boundaries. That said, boundaries are great. That's great, right? Good for you. The hard part is standing in the boundary on a consistent basis. Like, nah, remember what I said, right? and again and again and again. And that shit, sometimes that shit gets really fucking hard, man. Especially when you've had a certain kind of relationship with somebody for decades and decades and decades, right? You know what I'm saying? And so the reality is with almost three and a half years clean, man, my brother still sees me as a 5-year-old little girl, dude. You know what I mean? Like, go sit down somewhere, Kim. You know what I mean? Quit, be quiet. God, you know? I still get on his nerves sometimes, man. Like I'm saying, you know what I mean? And the reality is, man, Narcotics Anonymous gave me a brother I could look up to again. You know what I'm saying? I looked up to him my whole life, man. And the disease of addiction almost took him from us. And Narcotics Anonymous, fuck giving him back, right? I don't believe that we get ourselves back. I believe we get a whole new version of ourselves when we come in here, man. You know, people come in and they're like, I just want the old me back. I'm like, fuck that bitch. Shit, I don't want her back. You know what I mean? Like, the old me, I don't even know the old me, man. You know what I'm saying? The old me was a little kid. You know what I mean? Like, I get the old me back, but I get to heal that baby. I get to heal that little girl, right? We do this shit together, man. You know what I'm saying? And so, I don't know, man. I feel like I had a lot of stuff to share, but, you know, higher power stepped in, and that's what I got, man. I love y'all.
Cheer one more time for Kim. All right, let's welcome our next speaker, Jeff B.
Woo! Glasses on, glasses off. My name's Jeff, I'm an addict. Man, you know, before I do this kind of stuff, man, I try to pray 10, 20 times before, and you know, I go through this whole rambling in my head of what I'm going to say and everything, man. And I got a starting point, man, and that's where I'm going to go from. So if I ramble, I apologize. So, the hardest thing to do is to, like Kim was saying, man, standing in them boundaries, right? I want to take this program and I want to say, hey, man, you know, look what I got right here and give it to you and you're going to be just fine, right? You know, the hardest thing to do ever in my life was to not do that. Still today, I go through that, man. There's nothing harder than watching somebody you love struggle, whether it be with drugs, mental health, anything. And knowing that there are ways that the program has taught me that I could do something about that, right? That I could help that person. But it's not going to be received well if it's forced. You know, that's just a fact of the matter. It's not going to be received well if it's forced on somebody, man. Look, I got clean in 2015, man. And, you know, my daughter was born 2012. We went through this process of... my ex-wife had took her, and I'm still using, and my parents are like, you know, we're going to get her, so I sign her over, boom, 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 get her home, now, right? So they get her home, and I'm sitting there with my daughter, and I'm running out the door, watching her cry at the screen, wanting me to turn around and come back home. So 2 years, I did that, and, you know, in that last year before I got clean, man, I'm watching my sister do her thing. You know, y'all heard her talk about it, man. I mean, that shit was so attractive to me that, you know, look, I've tried to quit. I tried to stop, you know. I looked at the using, man, and I tried to stop the using. I didn't stop no behaviors. I didn't stop anything else, right? I didn't work on nothing, right? And I got nowhere, man. And I watched my sister, and I'm like, yo, what are you doing, man? And, you know, there was a program that she was involved in, and, you know, they were going one day, and I just decided I'm going to go too. you know, and the rest, as they say, is history, right? Because that program was, you know, I had to get a paper signed. So there go the meetings, right? And, you know, whenever I did a little struggle back and forth for a couple of months. And, man, something, I forget what had happened, but I just knew I had to stop doing that back and forth. And I just stayed, man. And July 18th was that day, right? July 18th, 2015, I made that decision, man, and I stayed clean from that day on, and I could not have done it without Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the attraction of this program has caused me to walk into a situation where I was loved more than I could ever think about being loved, man. So check this out, man. The situation where, you know, Kim going in and out and all that stuff, man, it really, you know, that was a hard thing for me to deal with because, you know, my daughter, you know, she loves her to death, right? So, you know, what do we want to do? We want to make these kids happy. We want to make them happy, right? So I'm letting her go. You know, my mom will come get her because I didn't want to go over. My mom would come get her and take her over there, you know, and before I knew it, man, it just, you know, I heard more and heard more and heard more, and I just had to make that decision, man, and that blew me apart because I knew how bad that was going to hurt my sister, right? So Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to make hard decisions no matter what it says in here or here, right? Because sometimes, you know, the first thing that I'm spouting out usually is somebody in these rooms in the back of my head going, this is what you might want to do, right? And, you know, that's what I usually should listen to, but I don't. I don't. I want to fight it, you know, and I did for a little while. And finally, I made that decision. So hard decisions is, man, when it comes to having family, siblings, anybody you care about, you know, struggling with this disease, and you're having to sit back and watch it, man, I didn't want to do it. You know, I'll be honest, man, my whole basis on making that decision of keeping my child from her was based on the fact that I just didn't want to deal with it, right? There was no lesson involved in my head. There was nothing else other than she's there, I'm here, and, you know, if I'm going to keep my daughter away from her own mother for this reason, and you're doing the same stuff, you know, what's that look like to me, right? It looks like I'm, you know, I'm making bad decisions, poor decisions for my child. That's, you know, that's what it felt like to me. Man, Kim's right, you know, I was a 10-year-old boy babysitting a baby. You know, when our parents split up, it was a no-brainer. We went with Mom. And mom was a mom, but she wasn't there. You know, she worked all the time. You know, when me and my older brother were kids, you know, we were always in Steak and Shake. That's where Mom worked, right? We were always there. When Kim was born, it was different, and I was older, so she just left her with me. You know, so yeah, I still see Kim as that baby. But at the same time, man, you know, there's some things, like I used to tell Kim, go get in the tree, and I'd run off skateboarding all day, right? And I'd come home, and then I'd get in trouble, and then I'd do it again the next day, right? So, you know, there's a lot of things culminating whenever you get clean and you kind of see somebody struggling and you wonder what kind of part you played in that struggle, right? So what I'm talking about is that emotional attachment to that person that you built before even the act of addiction, right? So whenever you come into the rooms or you get clean, man, and this could apply to anybody anywhere, man. It don't even have to just be brother, sister, right? You get clean, man, and you just, it's hard. It's hard. You know, I tried so hard to keep my sister from going down the same path I went down, man, but she came my way anyway, right? She came my way anyway, just across town, you know, in a different spot. So, this is kind of hard, man. Talking about this stuff. Never really talked about this stuff with a group of people I don't know. Making decisions for my recovery, you know, to somebody that I love and care about deeply. you know, it's probably the hardest thing that I could do, man. It's kind of like being hard on your kid to teach them a lesson and then being the bad guy, right? You don't really want to do it. You don't want to make your kid cry. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a tearing feeling, man, when you got to draw a boundary between you and somebody else that you love just so that your mental health and your recovery and you can stay clean and still prosper through that process, man. Attractive, not promotion, man. That's what we work with when it comes to dealing with, man, I'm going to tell you what, dude. This whole time, man, in recovery with my sister has been like a roller coaster, right? A roller coaster of emotions, man. It's because it's always been me and her since I was 8. And having her in Narcotics Anonymous and seeing her up here, that's not Kim, right? That's a, like she said, that's a whole new Kim. You know, man, I'm so grateful for this program so that we can both be who we are today and work towards being totally different people later in the future, man. So, you know, there's so much I had in my head I was going to say, man. I stood here and talked about my sister and almost started crying. I had to, you know, my immediate response is to shut down. Because I don't want to talk about it, right? The part that I may have played, right? So sometimes, whenever somebody we love in recovery is struggling, man, even if we don't see them all the time and we draw that boundary, man, I still dealt with it. On a daily basis, I still dealt with that, you know? Whether it be my kid asking about her, or just the simple fact that I wonder if I'm going to see her again, right? Wonder if I'm going to see that person ever again. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. I really hoped that I never saw the old Kim again. You know, like she said, thank God we don't go back to who we used to be, man. I got a good scar right here from her headbutting me really good one time. And I'm so glad she don't live like that no more. Because I can't lie, I still run my mouth from time to time. Right? Man, whenever, I don't know, man. There's a lot of times that I want to use this whole recovery thing for my children too, man. And try to force them to learn a concept that they don't even understand yet. Right? So I got to be vigilant of that, man, because, you know, I've got two children with ADD, man, and they don't pay attention very well. So whenever I get on one and I'm trying to say, hey, man, you can't be like this because later on in the future you might be like that. And then I'm just carrying on and carrying on and carrying on, right? And I'm thinking, you know, what have I learned? What have I learned? What have I learned in Narcotics Anonymous that I can pass down to these kids without it being Narcotics Anonymous, right? But I end up in the obsession, man. Just like Kim was saying, how it will use it against us. It'll use the program against us. Yo, man, I will carry on for a really long time trying to explain to somebody how they need to be different, only to realize that I'm trying to force my will on them. Right? Now, I wanted to stand up here and talk about my sister the whole time, right? Because that's I have a lot of experience with that. But I do also have experience with trying to use this program on people that aren't ready to receive it or aren't able to receive it, right? You know, children. There's people at work, man. I go into work. Look, I traded out all my regular clothes for Narcotics Anonymous clothes. I wear all my NA shirts at work. I try really hard not to speak the program to any of these guys that I know are using drugs, right? You know, I've had a handful of people come to meetings as a result of my shirts, right? So sometimes I got to watch what I'm doing as far as being that example of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, do I want to go into work and say, hey, you know, I am Narcotics Anonymous, and then turn around and be a dick or an asshole or just totally screw up something and, you know what I'm saying? Watch my character, right? watch my character. So, you know, I also have to remember that the clothes I'm wearing could reflect on Narcotics Anonymous as well. Right? Right? So, yeah, man, you know, this whole family and recovery together, man, you know, it applies to everyday life for me. It applies to work. It applies at home. You know, I would never think that, you know, when I came into Narcotics Anonymous that I could learn how to be a dad any different than my dad was, right? Narcotics Anonymous is teaching me how to be a different kind of father, the dad that I want to be, the dad that I want to be, man. You know, and my wife will tell you, I'm really big on lessons when it comes to my kids, man. I get into the obsession so bad that I look for a situation that I can fix my kids. I can fix that part of their personality. I can make them be better at that or this or whatever, right? So the disease will creep in on a daily basis. I'll come home from work, and if I'm really tired, man, I gotta watch out because I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, but what I'm really watching is my kids waiting for a situation where I could throw Narcotics Anonymous at them. You know, I don't bring up the program. I just use what I'm learning to try to, you know, like I said a minute ago, force my will on them, right? So, you know, the separation between, you know, am I being helpful or am I being hurtful, you know, can be confusing. So, man, family and recovery and anybody, man, anybody that I love, man, it's a struggle. It really can be a struggle, man. So building a boundary to where I have to leave that person alone, you know, applies with every person on this planet, because my brain will get in a circle and then that circle will eventually drop to a spiral, right? Next thing I know, I'm hauling back to punch a wall because somebody's not listening to me like I want them to listen to me, right? So defects come out as a result, man. I deal with this on a daily basis, y'all. The fact that I am in recovery and am trying to learn how to be different and be better on a daily basis does not mean that everybody else has to be. Does not mean that everybody else has to be. And that's where I go wrong a lot. And, you know, usually I have to have somebody tell me that. A couple days ago, my wife told me to call my sponsor, and in 3 years, she never said that to me. So I knew something was wrong. I knew it. You can ask him. I don't think I called him either. But just that was really just enough to calm me down, right? That was enough to calm me down, man. So what am I doing up here, man? I'm trying to convey to y'all the importance of what I do on a daily basis. Right, you know, we come up here with this topic of family and recovery together, man, and you know, trying to stick to just one part of that, you know, it's an impossible feat, man, because that's a broad spectrum. You know, family and recovery, those that I love in recovery, out of recovery, who I wish to be in recovery, right? You know, am I utilizing my program to make me better? Am I utilizing my program to force my will on you to try to make you be better? Right? So trying to be vigilant of this situation, man, and only work on me can be a struggle. It really can. But I'm gonna tell you what, man, there ain't nothing better than being able to watch somebody walk back into the rooms and smile again. Smile. I'm gonna get back on my sister for a minute, man. You know, we recently lost both our dads in the last couple of years, man. We've lost a cousin. You know, our dads were just old, a cousin to the disease. Man, we're really the only family we got as far as, you know, the Birch side of our family. There ain't nobody but us and another cousin left, maybe two. But I am so grateful that we have each other in these rooms. So grateful, man. There ain't nothing better than that, man. To see that person, you know, or people, that you've seen in the past and love them and care about how they're doing, come into rooms and throw that smile on, and you did not cause a fight to make it happen. It just happened. All on its own, man. And I'm sure she felt the same way when I came around, you know, the first time around. But, yo, I don't really have a whole lot to say. Like I said, man, making hard decisions is, you know, what I have to do on a daily basis in order to keep from exerting my will onto somebody else, right? To use this program, use it, right? Utilizing it and using it, because I use drugs, right? So I can use the program as well to be forceful to other people, man. And knowing that and actually doing something about it is two different things, man. I'm not going to sit here and say that I do it all the time. You know, I beat myself up all day long trying to figure out a way to use this program, but not say Narcotics Anonymous or the words that we use on a regular basis, right, to another person just to get them to be different, just to get them to act different, just to get them to feel different, right? Exert my will on somebody else, man. Step work, man, and step work. That's all it is right there. Getting to know myself, man, and trying to figure out. Right now, I'm stuck in the middle of step one at powerless. I believe that's where, ain't that where we're at? Powerlessness. And, man, I just realized that, you know, I'm powerless over a lot of things, man, but my decision's for me, right? Sometimes we can make a decision, and the decision don't mean nothing until we put action behind it, right? So, you know, if I ever come into a situation again where, you know, somebody that I really love and care about that's really that close to me, you know, like my sister or anybody else for that matter, man, you know, I've got something to go to that I can remember how I did that, right? Maybe utilize a different process, because it's usually a whole different process pertaining to people. But being powerless, knowing that I'm powerless over what other people are doing, man, is paramount to anything. That's paramount to anything, man. I ain't gonna watch you suffer. You know, that's for damn sure. I ain't gonna watch you suffer, man. Because if I watch somebody suffer, I'm gonna eventually start suffering myself. You know, so I've got kids. I've got a good job, man. And you know, bringing myself into a situation just to try to change somebody else is not what I need to be doing. That is not what I need to be doing, man. I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, man, and that is all I'm going to say.